Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is Karina, and you are on an Adventures of a Mom Patriot talk show. Today we are taking callers, so I'm hoping that we get a lot of people to call in, because today's theme, and I believe I'm going to run this theme for the next month or so, is having conversations in our communities. So I want people to give me a call, and we're going to discuss the issues of the day and also figure out how we can reach out into our communities and actually have conversations with our neighbors instead of confrontations. I know a lot of people out there, there's been studies that have shown that about 80% of Americans agree on the majority of the issues. It's actually just the politicians and the pundits that basically try to keep us divided so that we're not as powerful of a voting bloc. And now we have Lisa on the air. Hi, Lisa.
Hey.
I thank you so much for calling in. I know you're not feeling well today. So I was just telling our listeners that for probably next month, we're going to try to have callers and have the theme of having conversations over confrontations and getting out into our neighborhoods and actually building relationships with our neighbors.
Well, I think that's a really good area to go with this. You know, all of us have experienced being in organizations or trying to do something positive, and there's just not enough people to go around. Well, the natural solution is to unite as many organizations as we can on the common ground we have to be able to work together and partner together and create some synergy and some energy to get things done. So the better we can more effectively do that, I think the better off our country will be for our efforts. So, yes, I'm glad we're going to be discussing this. This is an area near and dear to my heart.
Well, in some of the research that I've done, I mean, basically, especially on, if people want to check it out, it's called thevoicesofamerica.org. It has some really great information, especially on how to get out into your neighborhoods and approaching people in a nonpartisan, having a nonpartisan message. Basically, you know, introducing yourself, say, hey, I live down the street. I've been active in my community, and I'm kind of concerned about where our community's going. Can you let me know what your concerns are? And that way, it's like an open-ended conversation where they're not feeling attacked.
Absolutely. Yeah, Voices of America is a huge resource for anybody who wants, you know, just even information to get a little bit of an edge in terms of their thinking on how to tackle this huge problem we've got, and that's uniting Americans and voters on, you know, issues that are very important to us. And it's so many of the issues we can come together on, and it doesn't really even matter where you are on a particular issue. I think we all need to more effectively engage in the process to get our voices heard. So that Voices of America is an incredible tool to do that. If you want your voice heard and to be more effective in your calling out for change or calling out for, you know, integrity and instilling honor in those who are serving this great nation in a role of a representative. So Voices of America is a key way to do that. So, yes, it's a great resource.
Well, and yesterday I read an article. It's the Credibility Consumer Distress Index. And I personally live in the Tampa Bay area, and we were number one in the distress index. The Tampa Bay area was the most distressed in the nation. And basically what they developed that on was mortgage delinquencies and, you know, job availability and that kind of thing. And, Tampa St. Pete was the most distressed. You want to know who was the least distressed in the nation?
I can't even imagine, but I have a feeling they live in like Minnesota or Montana or something.
No, it was Washington, D.C. And I'm like, okay, no wonder nobody up there understands what we're going through. You know what I'm saying? Oh.
That's right. The worse things get for us, the more job security it is for them. Because
right?
They keep trying to say that they are the way to fix it. So that's certainly that is the cycle they are trying to create. You know, wow.
I posted it on the Go Facebook page. It's facebook.com/GOOOH. And it started quite an interesting conversation. I had people actually not on the wall. They were contacting me off the wall, and they were like, really? Are you kidding me? Like, no, I'm not.
It's not a joke. You know, some of us are planning a trip to D.C. here coming up soon in the next month or so, and, you know, they're really... It really is a wonderful place to operate and be, you know, it's certainly, especially if you're a history buff like I know you and I are, it's a place you want to go to visit, and you get excited about being there. And they have a lot of wonderful things going on there. I was talking with a mutual friend of ours today about the metro and what a great system that is. And, you know, public transportation is so cool. Well, it is as long as the public can afford it. It is terrific. But when it breaks down or the public is broke trying to pay for it, it's not great on the backs of the people who are paying for it. So, you know, we're certainly grateful that some of the systems work, but we also know that there are things that are public, this country and our states and our towns are doing that are not cost efficient, that are completely inefficient. I'm not saying the metro's one. As far as I have no information on that. But I do know that there are, you know, people who are actively trying to get us to depend on public systems that they're creating at the onset they're setting them up to be inefficient and not cost-effective.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, in Pinellas County, it just makes me, first of all, they're trying to put a light rail in the Tampa Bay area, and the Patriot Movement has been fighting it. And I have so much respect for the Patriots that have taken on that battle, because it is a never-ending battle. You wouldn't believe. I mean, I don't think the everyday citizen really understands how many government meetings there are, and the non-government organizations that all those meetings. I mean, we had a team of Patriots that were attempting to attend all the meetings, and it was a full-time job. I mean, there was like four or five a week, and it's all social planning and, you know, the whole UN Agenda 21 issue. It's very scary. I mean, and most of it, when you say Agenda 21, you know, especially the politicians, they just kind of go, okay, where are you hiding your tinfoil hat? But what I try, and this is where we're going to come around to the conversation part. It's all about the language that we use, because instead of, I'm trying to convince some of my friends, instead of just saying Agenda 21, which is actually the title of it, that is the name, the actual name. But when you're presenting it to someone that might not necessarily live and breathe the Patriot Movement like some of us do, when you go up to their house and say, I'm really concerned about my property rights, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Yeah, I don't want the government messing with my property rights. And that's where you right. gradually introduce the idea to them.
Yes, exactly. And I think one of the keys is being able to understand what the language means to them and where they're coming from as you talk about it. You know, if they have, you know, you can say Agenda 21 50 times, but if they have a negative perception of that expression, if they immediately have aligned it, and whether they're correct or not is irrelevant to the conversation, because as the person is trying to communicate a message, you have to be aware of how your message is being received. And if it's being received negatively because you're choosing terminology that is outmoded, has been ruined by somebody else, then choose different terminology. Explain it in a different way. I think that's a perfect example of switching the conversation from Agenda 21 Sustainable Development to property rights, because you know, that is really the core of what we're trying to accomplish. Our accomplishment will not be in, you know, damaging the UN or sullying the name of a politician who is, you know, believes the UN is wonderful. That's not what we're trying to accomplish. We're not trying to accuse anybody of doing heinous things. We're trying to establish a line that we would like our representatives to not cross when it comes to infringing on our property rights as a citizen. That's all. We're not trying to throw anybody to the wolves or damage anybody's reputation or accuse them of mishandling the public trust, although ultimately I do think that is a concern. But that's not what we're trying to accomplish. We're just trying to set a threshold where they cannot move beyond the threshold and infringe on our property rights. So property rights is really the core issue. You know, whatever they want to call Agenda 21 or sustainable development, they get to, as far as I'm concerned, they can talk about it all day. Especially if you've been in academic circles, you know, there are times that people just want to theorize about what works. They want to talk about what a great utopia we can create. Where we want to draw the conversation is, okay, that's a wonderful idea. But when it comes to putting it into practice, here's the line. You cannot cross over into our property rights. And we've got to keep the conversation focused on where that line exists, why it exists, and where we're willing to stand firm on that line. Because I guarantee you, wherever you are in the conversation about sustainable development, whatever you feel that, you know, even if you're pro-sustainable development in the sense that you think the UN is trying to do something wonderful and great, you will join us on that line if it infringes on your property rights. And they know it. They know. We will get people to join us if we make that the threshold, if we make that the conversation.
And something else we need to keep in mind as well is, once again, a lot of us have been dealing with this and educating ourselves for several years now. And when we go to introduce ourselves to someone that has, you know, with this economy and everything and you know, all the foreclosures, especially we're going to go back to, you know, Tampa Bay being the most consumer distressed, just in my, you know, my community, if you go up to someone and introduce yourself and right away you smack them with this huge, the UN plan, their brain is going to shut down. They're going to go, oh, I can't think about that. I want to go back to my, Real Housewives or my American Idol now in my safe place.
Exactly. We're going to drive people out of their interest in helping when we unload the complexity of it on them. You're exactly right. That's a very good point. Yeah, there are days that I just want to do nothing but watch Lifetime, too. So,
I have a confession, and I confess this to you. I actually DVR a lot of shows because I don't sleep at night, and a lot of what's on at night is just not really interesting to me. So I actually have a confession. I do watch The Real Housewives, but like you and I were talking about...
Yeah, trash TV.
I know it's trash TV. I kicked the girls out of the room, but I'm gonna admit that I'm such a geek that I enjoy watching it because I like psychology and that kind of thing. So it's kind of an educational thing for me. And everyone's laughing that's listening right now. They're like, "You are a geek. You're watching Real Housewives, a social experiment." But
well, is that the same thing as, you know, my guilty pleasure is Cobblers and Tiaras for the same exact reason? I like to pick apart child development or lack thereof as exposed in Cobblers and Tiaras. It's just it's unfortunate, though, because on the one hand, I almost don't want to add to that industry by adding viewership. On the other hand, I'm deeply fascinated And, you know, realistically, these moms would be dragging their kids to pageants anyway, whether it was televised or not. So it's not like it's creating an industry of pageant moms. If anything, hopefully it is deterring an industry, because then, you know, the future pageant moms can look at that and go, oh, yeah, no, that really isn't me, is it? Or, wow, that's really what I'd be getting if I started entering my child in pageants. So, you know, hopefully it is a deterrent. And well, I really actually think it could be doing a public service of good, though, too. People get to see themselves potentially in a mirror in those shows and realize, ooh, I kind of act like that. I kind of say those things. How embarrassing. so hopefully it's not a bad thing.
In a sick way, you know, because I'm not really, well, because we live in America, maybe one day I might have as much money as the Real Housewives, but we'll never know. But in an interesting way, you see these people with all this money, and they're a wreck. I mean, they're a train wreck. And I'm just like, wow, you know. So it kind of gives people an insight into that. But on the other hand,
it helps us gain perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just that money isn't everything, but
yep.
Actually that brings me into the next point, is when we're going out into our neighborhoods or when we're in the line at the grocery store and you see someone buying something, a product that you really like, how many of us, and I'm going to be speaking at a women's conference on Saturday, I'm very excited about it, and what I want to hopefully present to the women and get them thinking is how many times when we were raised, okay, let me go back. When we were raised as kids, as women, I'm just going to go with the women. The men can hold on for a second. We were raised to be polite. We were raised to be non-confrontational. And if you go a little bit further back, maybe not so much to young ladies today, but a lot of the girls in my generation, if you presented yourself as very intelligent, or if you knew a lot, the guys would be like, you know. And so our mothers were, you know, don't be too aggressive, that kind of thing. You know what I'm trying to say? So we have to get out of that mode and not consider going out into our neighborhoods and introducing ourselves to our neighbors as an aggressive act. You need to think of it more as building a coalition, building a resource of friends or, you know, acquaintances that we might have something in common with. So going back to the housewives and the toddlers and tiaras, once you go out to your neighborhood, maybe find a local issue that you may think that your neighbors are concerned about, for example, in Tampa Bay, a lot of our taxpayers are concerned about the light rail issue, because that's going to really cost quite a bit of money for the taxpayers, for the property owners. So maybe start out with a small issue, build the relationship, and then move on forward to the bigger issues like the UN and things like that. But it looks like we have a call. Let me see. While you're commenting on that dialogue, I'm gonna check out who this is, and I'll be right back. Okay.
Okay. Well, that's a really interesting thought, that we start from just something that we all can get interested in at the local level. Do you know about the penny sales increase or whatever is going on in our local neighborhoods? We can initiate a conversation about something that affects everybody locally, very gently. And even as women, even if we've been conditioned to talk to people very gently or be a little passive, it's very easy to break through that when you're talking to your neighbor about things that are impacting the neighborhood. So I really wish we'd kind of get back to the day where if a neighbor moved in, you know, you'd bake them a cake and you'd bring it over. It would be really helpful if we could break down barriers neighbor to neighbor, friend to friend, and reach out to people in a meaningful way and start that conversation. So that's what I'm hoping to be able to do here locally, too, is create coalitions. There are already some powerfully wonderful groups here, some people who are doing wonderful things, being very effective, helping educate others, being patriots in their own daily walk. My goal is to bring them together so that we can collaborate and we can have that conversation among groups, whether it's a homeowners association that's concerned about a regulation coming forward in their town, working together with, a local union group that is concerned about something else that's related to the regulation. I think we can be very surprised how much we have in common if we start addressing the issues that are right at our front door that impact and affect everybody. So, you back yet?
Yeah, okay. Actually, they dropped off. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm going to have to one day test, on a side note, not necessarily for our listeners, but I'm going to have to test how to screen calls because I don't know how to do it, apparently, and I think I kicked them off. If you're listening, please call back. anyway, well, and going back to the grocery store, and trying to get out of that uncomfortable position, because, I've had quite a few people I've been talking to about this. I think for the past month, I've felt it as my calling just to everybody I meet, just to say, have you talked to your neighbor today or something? Go to two or three new houses, a week or something. It doesn't have to be a huge, huge project in the beginning, but just building those relationships. But I was in the grocery store, and I saw there was this older lady, and she was so precious, and she had something that she was buying, and it was a product that I really liked a lot, and so I just spoke to her, and usually my daughters are with me, they're 14 and 9, and my 14-year-old is very shy, so she and I are like in two different worlds. She kind of tends to hide behind me when I start talking to people. It's funny. But that might be a teenager thing too. But I ended up having a conversation with this lady while I was checking out, and then we waited. She only had a few items, and walked her to her car and helped her put her bags in her car. Now, will I ever meet her again? Probably not. But We went over and put our things in the car, and as she was leaving, she came by and thanked us again. Now, you've seen my truck. I have quite a few bumper stickers. Pretty much anyone that sees my truck will know what I'm involved in. So, it might have just opened a door there, and she made a comment about the Go bumper sticker that I have. It's basically Congress should be full of people just like you. And she goes, absolutely. So it's only going to take one conversation at a time. Because
right.
In this society that we have like you and I have discussed before, we live in a 60-second society, and that's 60 seconds, where people are relying on their information about their candidates and about what's going on in their communities in these sound bites, and
yeah.
Tell people that have chosen to educate themselves, until we start reaching out and forming acquaintances with people, then they're going to continue to rely on the sound bites, on the politicians and on the media, in the corporate media, to tell them who to vote for and what's right and what's wrong.
Right. There are two key points I want to bring up now that you've told your grocery store story, because I think this is so vital, and I'm really glad you brought up your grocery store story, because I think it's a perfect example of how to do things right. First of all, the message that you had on that bumper sticker, the one that she liked, Congress should be full of people just like you, is an extremely positive message.
Right.
When you're opening the door with somebody for the first time, when you're initiating that contact, it's nice to be able to do it, and you're going to be received much more openly if you are not potentially bashing something maybe they feel strongly about. We all have our very strong opinions, some of us stronger than others, on this administration. But the fact that your bumper sticker was focused on a more positive turn on how we can potentially view our political scene is, I think, incredibly valuable in building bridges, because nobody wants to hear the person that perhaps they voted for be bashed right in front of them, whether it's through a bumper sticker or whatever. I mean, those kind of bumper stickers can do a great job unifying all the people who agree with you and make them go, yeah, thumbs up. But beyond that, beyond the unifying people, and really, do we need to do that? If they really agree with us,
right?
They really agree with us. If we're trying to reach out, build bridges, and maybe open the door to some conversations that can introduce logic and thought and reasoning into the conversation, the work we're going to have to do is going to be perhaps with the people who don't immediately agree with us. So as far as I'm concerned, one of the reasons why you had such a positive response is because that was, in particular, such an incredibly positive message that Go has in that bumper sticker. Secondly, you approached her in the grocery store without an agenda. People pick up on that. When you approach somebody for a purpose of, you want something from them, you knock on their door and you welcome them to the neighborhood and you hand them a cake, but you're hoping you can borrow their lawnmower because yours just broke. I mean, people are going to really have a problem with that. They're going to look sideways at you every time they look at you. And like you said about the 60-second society we live in, that 60 seconds to process the information, it's also 60 seconds that they form a judgment about the situation or a conclusion about you personally. And if you use your 60 seconds to try to manipulate them, to try to direct them, to try to push them, to try to force their hand, to try to get them to comply with you on something, you are going to get rejected. And as far as I'm concerned, you should be, because you're not doing anything to further the conversation. If you've just met somebody and you're trying to manipulate the conversation to get something from them, whether it's candidate related or whether it's you've just met them, that's not the place for it. If you've just met them, it's an opportunity to establish a relationship. Don't blow it by trying to say, who are you voting for? Are you registered to vote? I really want to know who you're voting. If you've just met them, that is not the place for it. If it's a neighbor you hardly ever talk to, that is probably not. If the last time you talked to your neighbor was the time that the whole street's power went out and you walked down your street to make sure the whole street is without power like you, if that's the only time you talk to that neighbor, it's probably not appropriate for you to knock on that neighbor's door and say, are you registered to vote? I want to make sure you're registered to vote, and here's the guy you should be voting for. No, this is an opportunity to build relationships and start a dialogue. And that means you have to, in order to be well-received, not be trying to take from somebody's time, take from somebody's energy, but be willing to give first. Givers gain. If you're willing to give something, a little bit of your time, an actual genuine question of interest, like, I'm curious, how your begonias are gorgeous. How in the world could you let them look so good? Look, mine are just not nearly as big. If you really are genuinely giving something, giving a compliment, giving a positive piece of information, giving a piece of encouragement, you will get something eventually. You don't have to worry about that. But I think we need to stress to our listeners, that's not the way to open up the dialogue. That's not the way to start the conversation, to walk up to somebody and demand something of them, either their time or their energy or their focus or their vote or their compliance. That is not the time for it. No matter how passionate we are, we cannot forget that people are people and they want to build a relationship with us before they offer us anything. And if we try to put the cart before the horse in that arena, we're not only going to get shut down, but we're also going to get shut out. That is going to establish a precedent with them, and they're not going to be interested in anything we have to say from then on. So we have to be really careful. But I think your grocery store story is a perfect example of how to start a dialogue with somebody, because, A, you're genuine. You just genuinely want to start the conversation. You have no interest in trying to manipulate them into doing anything for you, and B, you have a positive message, even if it's about a very serious subject. I love those Go bumper stickers. Karina, if people want those Go bumper stickers, can they go to go.com and order those? or go.org? Where, how do they get them?
Actually, I think they're only available in Go in Florida. So if anyone wants the bumper stickers, if they want to email me, I'm mompatriot@ymail.com. That's mompatriot@ymail.com. If you email me, you can send me like a self-addressed stamp envelope, and I'll send you one for free.
Oh,
but
that's so neat of you. That's really cool. Will you send me one if I send you a self-addressed stamp envelope?
No, you silly girl. I will send you a handful because I need to send some stuff anyway. I want to also give a shout out to, there's a local group, and I would love for this to go national. The group is called Proclaim Liberty Throughout All the Land. And what they're doing is Hamilton Hansen is running it. And what he does is he actually came to speak at our meeting this month. And he's such a powerful speaker. And going on the same lines as what you were saying, he's encouraging people. He has a packet of papers and one, and also a constitution. And they highlight, I believe it's, you know what, I can't remember what article section it is, but it might be the 10th Amendment. It might be the rights. It's definitely one of the Bill of Rights. But, boy, I'm sounding pretty stupid. But in that packet of paper, right, that they're handing them, instead of a list of politicians to vote for, what they're handing these people, and it might be a little tad overwhelming, but they're asking them if they know about what offices that they're going to have to vote on in the fall. And for the people that don't know, they hand them a list of all the offices that we have to vote on, and that goes for city council, county commission, dog catcher, state senator, all the way up to president. And when I looked at the paper, I asked him, I was thinking, you know, I'm wondering what people do when they open that up and see a list of 20 different offices that they're going to have to research, you know, the candidates on. And that's why I love what the Abigail Adams Project is doing, because when I was going around my neighborhood handing out the voter guides, one of the first things that people would ask me was, what party are you with? And it was just so much fun to tell them, I'm not with the party. This is information on all the candidates that wanted to participate, you know, that wanted to participate. And they just got the biggest grin on their face, Lisa.
Sorry, my cough button. They got it immediately that you aren't trying to get something from them. You're not trying to get their vote. You're not trying to manipulate them or persuade them even. You're just handing them something they can find useful. So, yeah, it's a powerful thing to because it's very rarely done anymore. So when people approach other people without an agenda, it's noticeable. It really does go a long way. It's like being the only honest plumber in town. Everybody's going to know who you are because, you know, you stand out from the crowd. And if you are the only person who speaks about political and civic things without an end game, you know,
right.
with truly wanting to give them information that they find useful, not suck up all their time with useless stuff. And, you know, so you're honoring them and honoring the fact that they have a brain. And if you hand them some information, they can make a decision for themselves. That's pretty powerful. And it stands out because people are being spoon-fed. People are being humored, cajoled. You know, I mean, you can't watch an ad on TV without feeling like you have to go take a shower afterwards sometimes. You feel so manipulated by the television ad. You know, there is a particular ad that shows up right now about an organization that wants to do good things for animals. And it's a very powerful ad. It'll make you cry. It makes me turn off the TV. I just can't watch it. My heart breaks. Of course, the problem is that one of those particular organizations that runs an ad like that, there are a couple, one of them does not actually distribute funds to the local organizations that save animals. They are purely a they're purely a lobbying group. And, you know, they certainly do not indicate that on their ad. They don't say, oh, by the way, if you send us money, not a penny is going to go to help the animals you just saw, other than we are trying to lobby for legislation that overall will help animals. Well, that's a different thing. That is a right. That is a different thing. I'm not saying there's not a place for that, but that is certainly not what the ad would project, you know. So anyway, it's a very manipulative process, and people feel manipulated by it, so it's refreshing not to feel that way. But I'm a little disappointed. My voice just got back from a Sonic run, and I don't see any Sonic. No? You know? Oh, okay. He was doing other errands. I was really looking forward, because, you know, Sonic does this 2 to 4 p.m. They do have grace drinks, so it's a little... I didn't mean to do a free advertisement for Sonic, but, you know, if you listen
that's
to
all right.
Sonic
I gotta write
in their
your,
area.
I'm going to write your corporate office and include a link to our podcast on there.
I just, you know, like you said when I called in, you knew I wasn't feeling really well today, so I may have some squirrel moments and some tangents that I'm running down, and craving a limeade happens to be one of them, so... anyway, how far are we into the show here? Is because you can cut me off at any time, I'd be all right.
Yeah. Oh, we got another 25 minutes. But what I also want to do is I want to encourage people to maybe plan something before you go out into your. This is what I want to do on the show. I want to maybe get some more people to come in and talk about successful events that they planned in their community. For what I'm thinking about for the moms is maybe organize a park day and then go out into your neighborhood, or even if your kids go to school and get on the bus, you can hand them, I don't know, are you allowed to hand kids flyers anymore? You know, my kids are homeschooled, so I'm not sure what the rules are. But, you know, or... let you know, go to the bus stop and say, hey, we're having a cookout on this day. Will you take this to your parents? You know what I'm saying? That would be a way of efficiently using our time, especially as moms. We're up to our eyeballs and doing so much. I think it would be a great way to get to know your neighbors if you have a local park that you can invite them to, or even your backyard with a cookout.
Absolutely. Or, you know, in the case of our, you know, we had a yard sale one time, and the neighbor just walked in the house and used the bathroom. So, you could end up inviting us to a yard sale and get to know your neighbors, unfortunately, a little too well. I'd never seen that before. That was a new one.
Oh,
and, you know, didn't even ask permission, just kind of came in. Anyway, so yeah, there are always opportunities to get to know your neighbors, whether you really want to at that particular time or not. But actually, what's fun is to kind of look for local meeting areas that, you know, would be really conducive to having fun and maybe be free for everybody so more people can participate. Like, we have a local chain store. I guess I should really watch inadvertently plugging corporations on the show.
No, I'm keeping a list of them. I'll be writing their corporate officers, you know.
Okay, well, in that case, this is a local Winn-Dixie. And it has a little internet cafe out front, in the front of the store, so it's air-conditioned. It's comfortable enough, and they serve free coffee. And it's just sort of, it's a neat, it happens to be centrally located in our area of town, and I'm going to meet a friend for coffee there tomorrow. So, you know, the fun thing is when you connect with your neighbors, oftentimes you can explore areas of your community, little gems you didn't even know were there. And, yes, I will be shopping at the grocery store right after the meeting, so everybody wins. But at the same time, it's going to be fun. And, it takes us out of our humdrum kind of experience to go and do something new and different. And oftentimes these things cost no money. So if we get creative and we keep our eyeballs open for new opportunities to connect with people. So, and there are people out there who, you know, frankly, Karina, are lonely. And they might like somebody to talk to. And they really would appreciate even just the five-minute conversation in the grocery store. I mean, I remember when I was a young stay-at-home mom and I did, you know, I talked to a preschooler or a toddler all day. And, boy, I could not wait to have a real adult conversation. And I could not go to the grocery store without getting conversation with somebody just out of desperate need to have an adult conversation. So, you know, there are other people in circumstances in life that when they do get out, they really do crave human interaction. And what a blessing it can be if we were willing to just offer up a little bit of it for those people who struggle with that.
Well, and that reminds me, too, I did some calling, phone banking is what they call it, for a presidential candidate back in January. And I ended up speaking with the sweetest lady. And I'm sure that most people would have been frustrated because we were being pressured to call as many people as we wanted. But I ended up having like a 30-minute conversation with her, which is unacceptable in phone banking circles. but I got my precinct information from the local party, and so I actually have all the phone numbers. And what he did, which was fabulous for me, because you know how much I'm principal over party. I want to know everybody that can vote that lives in my neighborhood. I want to know them all. And yeah. He gave me the entire list of all the voters, Republicans, Democrats, MPAs, Independents. And I, you know, when he handed it to me, I kind of glanced at it. But when I got home, I was definitely doing the happy dance because I'm like, I've got everybody.
That is amazing information to have. It really is. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's not even, well, of course, it could give you some insight, too, if you notice, hey, my next-door neighbor, who I assumed was registered to vote because she and I talk all the time about these things, I see she's not. Now, of course, tread lightly. You don't want people to, you know, you don't want to go up and you're like, hey, I was following you online the other day and searching your name and found you weren't registered to vote or whatever. You know, you just want to be careful. But
No, that's a tad creepy, and I'm not recommending. It's actually a lot more than a tad creepy. I'm not recommending that anybody do that. I mean, if you're working with a campaign, here's another thought on that. If you've already reached out into your community and people know your face. If you are passionate about a candidate, which, by the way, I absolutely am passionate about a candidate, and because it's my show, I'm actually going to say his name because nobody can tell me to be quiet. you know how many people are laughing if they're listening now. His name is Darren Ayers. He's running against a 42-year incumbent in Congress. He is.
What's his name again? Say it again. I want to hear that.
Darren Ayers. It's spelled A-Y-R-E-S.
Okay.
And his website is DarrenAyersForCongress.com.
And he's running against a 42-year incumbent?
A 42 years. And, okay, for everyone...
Not a 42-year-old man. A man who has been in Congress for 42 years?
Absolutely. He's been in Congress. I was 2 years old when he was elected.
That's a long time for somebody to be in Congress. You know, I think I know the congressman you're talking about. And, you know, the last time we saw him publicly, he appeared to be fairly wispy. You know, like perhaps being propped up physically and in other ways. So as much as we appreciate his service to our country, perhaps 42 years is a good
time to retire.
You know,
It's time to retire. And
solid track record of service where, yes, retirement is definitely an option. Yeah, that's a long time to serve at that
and
level.
Darren has such a great attitude about it. He's not bashing this congressman because he has brought things to the community. And this congressman actually did a personal favor for my mother. So, I mean, that's how long he's been in Congress. So my mom, for everyone that doesn't know, my mom passed away about 18 years ago, and he actually did something for my mother when my brother was overseas, because this congressman was involved with the military commission or something in Congress. But Darren has such a great attitude, and he's also a veteran. He currently serves in the National Guard as the chaplain. I mean, he's just a great man, and it's someone that can talk to anyone. And when you're talking to him, you're not getting the feeling of, ick, that's a politician. You know what I'm saying? He's down to earth. He's been a small business owner. He grew up on a farm. He worked on the farm. So that, once again, it's Darren Ayers for Congress.com. Unfortunately, there was a clerical error on his candidate petitions, and you may say that, they got disqualified. So now he has to qualify for the ballot with the ransom of $10,440. So, and we have until June 4th to get him on the ballot. But he's really building up steam. He's like I said, he's a good guy. And definitely down to earth, somebody that I'm passionate about. So now that I've given my candidate the plug, and he's also he was also endorsed by the Go process. That's GOOH.com. You can find him on the front page of that as well, along with EJ Otero, who is running against Kathy Castor in District 11, or actually in Tampa, in the Hillsborough County District. They changed our district numbers on us, and I keep confusing them. But having said all of that and given my plug for Go and for Darren, for EJ, what I want to say about when you are getting out into your neighborhoods, building a relationship with your neighbors before you want something from them, like you were saying earlier, is vital. Because when the elections come around, and you and I have seen this, when the elections, people are busy with their lives, and then about 2 weeks before the ballots come out, they panic. And they're like, oh, crap, who do I vote for? And then, I don't know about your phone, but this last election, not the presidential primary, pretty much everybody knew where I stood on that one, but the last primary election, my phone was ringing off the hook. Because people going, okay, Karina, we know that you've been studying this stuff. What's your thoughts? And it's not that I'm telling them who to vote for, unless it's going to be Darren Ayers. I will be yelling that from the top of my lungs. But it's building that relationship, building up a trust, so they know that you care about the issues, the same things they do. And then when they're looking for information from you, you can offer it to them.
Yes. And I would add one thing to that. If they do disagree with you, or they don't appreciate the information, or they question the information, just being respectful of their point of view.
Right.
You know, not trying to push them or trying to dominate them into, I've been in conversations like this. I've also been subjected to conversations like this, and I can tell you I never like to be subjected to conversations where somebody tells you, you really just fundamentally kind of disagree with either their premise or how they came about their information, but they are just dogmatic. Well, I got this information from so-and-so and such, and they know what they're talking about. Or, we need to do something about this now. This is a really important, maybe I don't agree with that. Maybe I think that there's something else more pressing. Maybe there's something more important to me personally that is just taking precedence over, over situations. Like, for example, when my younger son was in public school, school funding was a huge issue. Well, I really wasn't too concerned about school funding, because my son wasn't passing because he was dyslexic, and there was nothing the school was doing to address his dyslexia. And I, as a parent, could only focus on what I was going through in our family with his situation in school. So people would talk to me about school funding. I just really wasn't interested. And I didn't appreciate the people who were trying to treat me as if I was doing something wrong for not agreeing with them. I just had something else going on. I was focused on another area of concern with our schools, that our special needs students were not getting needs met because of the curriculum. And so that was where my heart was at that time. So I didn't appreciate getting beat up for not getting more involved or more active because I was going through something else that needed my attention. So I think even as passionate as we can get as patriots, we have to remember not everybody has been called to approach things the same way we have been or with the same amount of time or energy, and to be respectful where people are in their current walk in life. Maybe they're just, it's not a good time for them. Maybe perhaps they're in crisis. Maybe perhaps they just have not had the same information, or they've gotten it from another source they trust in a different way, and it's just, that makes sense to them. So we do have to recognize there will be differing points of view, but as long as we can be respectful, there's no reason why we cannot open up the conversation to anybody about anything that we care about. So,
and that makes a really good point that I'd like to make too. I actually am a member of on Facebook of a local Occupy group, and of course, in the beginning they were they were kind of leery. I got called a troll, which I understand because they don't know me. But when I explained to them that I did not want to rely on the media, just like I think a lot of people are relying on the media with to have their impressions about the Tea Party, which, you know, I'm so not a fan of labels, but the Patriot movement as a whole, I don't want to base my opinions of Occupy on what the media is showing me. So in order to learn from them, that's another valuable point that I'd like to make, or in my opinion, we don't know everything. So like when I was going through the GO candidate selection process, that's what I loved so much about it, is you take a stand on the issues by what your knowledge is, and then you talk to the person at your table and figure out, you know, what if they took a different stand, why they took that stand. And the opportunity to learn from others, I'm big on education, and coming to the conversation with someone that may you either don't know, or they consider themselves a part of another group that you're not quite sure about, or have heard other things about, if we approach that kind of situation with an open mind and trying to understand their mindset on how they do, we might just learn something from them, and they might learn something from us. So
to me,
it's more about learning from each other and forming relationships, because unfortunately in today's society, and I'm just as guilty of it, well, some of us, I'm a stay-at-home mom, but I'm either behind my computer. Well, I'm pretty much behind my computer all day. I'm not out, you know, unless I'm precinct walking, I'm not out reaching to people. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the neighbors if you're at the library. I think people are starved for personal interaction, because, and this is kind of sort of funny, a few people that I have spoken to, they look at me like I've lost my mind. First of all, they're looking for the Bluetooth device to see if I'm talking on my phone. you know, have you ever met this? Somebody's walking through the store and you think they're talking to them, and you answer them, and then all of a sudden you see they're on their Bluetooth, and you feel like you want to go into the next aisle, and you keep running into them. But anyway,
it happens to me all the time.
But reaching out and having conversations with the people that surround us, with our community, it just has to be done. I mean, because what I'm seeing, especially with the election cycle, what I'm seeing with the politicians and the media pundits and you know, the establishment, what I'm seeing them is dividing us on purpose. Because it's almost like they understand that if we all decided to get together and have a conversation, that they would be kicked out. That, you know, just like the war on women. I mean, how many of that's just about the most ridiculous thing. I'm just totally flabbergasted. And so instead of talking about our economy, which is a mess right now, we're talking about the war on women because the main reason is women comprise of 51% of the voters.
Mm-hmm.
So they figure if I can make the other guy look like he hates women, I'll get all the women voters. It's manipulation. It drives me bananas.
Yes, absolutely. It's an opportunity that we have, though, because we are knowledgeable and we care to fix that, to change the way it's done and improve on the way typically people interact with each other. So we have a real opportunity to make a difference. And one of my pet peeves is squandered opportunities. So
right.
I think, you know, that's definitely a way we can impact positive change. And I want to commend you for reaching out to the occupiers. It's not easy to do. They have a lot of mistrust. They don't really know who we are. They don't really know what we're about. They have been told horrible things about us. And we have a lot of work in setting the record straight, which is very unfair, because we've not done anything to deserve it. But at the same time, it's something that needs to be done. So I really hope that we can, in these next few shows, encourage people and empower them to reach out across the aisle, proverbially, but also, you know, to their neighbors down the street and engage in a meaningful way with people, even if they don't agree with us, because that is secondary to building our community, because it's much harder to lie to somebody. Our administration, our local governments would have a much more difficult job pulling one over on us if we were connected and we were able to compare notes and we were able to get informed at a fundamental level and share information with each other and gain common ground. Then, you know, when they try to pull their little hijinks, it would not be successful. It's the nature of the beast. We have to try to link arms to keep them from breaking through our ranks. So because there are people who are trying to do that.
Yeah, and I do have some inspirational thoughts, too. And maybe in the next couple of weeks I can invite there was two of the Occupy members that are now friends with me on my Facebook page, and I've had some really interesting conversations and have learned a lot more about the vocal ones, their point of view, and it's been a lesson in learning for me, but they're willing to talk and see. Once I reached out and I said, look, I'm here to learn from you. They were like, oh, that's kind of cool. They were like, hey, there might be hope for a tea party or yet. I'm like, okay, then. But they, you know, it's all about reaching across the aisle, and maybe I can get a few of them to come on, and they can either they can address the misconceptions that they have, or I mean, their conception of the tea party, and we can address our conception of the tea party, and we'll actually have a conversation. That'd be fun. So.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to encourage everybody to go to Blog Talk Radio, and it's Adventures of a Mom Patriot, and look us up and follow our show so that we can keep you in the loop on what we're going to have for the next few months. And thank you so much, Lisa, for calling in. I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
No problem. And I just want to plug one more time. Please go to DarrenAyresForCongress.com. He's a great guy, and he's challenging a career politician. And if you can't find him, go to GOOOH.com, and he's on the front page along with some awesome candidates in Texas and Florida. So I believe it's time to end the show. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next Thursday.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.